Chapter 8. Peter and John Freed from Prison. This chapter is based on Acts 5, verse 12 to 42. In Christ's strength, the disciples went forth to tell the story of the manger and the cross, and to triumph over all opposition. From their lips came words of divine eloquence that shook the world. In Jerusalem, where deep prejudice and confused ideas prevailed in regard to him who had been crucified as a malefactor, the disciples set before the Jews the mission of Christ, his crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. Priests and rulers heard with amazement the bold testimony. The power of the risen Savior had indeed fallen on the disciples. Along the streets where they were to pass, the people laid their sick on beds and pallets, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. RSV. Crowds gathered around them, and those who were healed glorified the name of the Redeemer. As the Sadducees, who did not believe in a resurrection, heard the apostles declare that Christ had risen from the dead, they were enraged. If the apostles were allowed to preach a risen Savior, the sect of the Sadducees would soon become extinct. The Pharisees perceived that the tendency of the disciples' teaching was to undermine the Jewish ceremonies. Now both Sadducees and Pharisees determined that the disciples should be stopped. Filled with indignation, the priests put Peter and John in prison. Those whom the Lord had made the depositaries of truth had proved unfaithful, and God chose others to do his work. These leaders would not even admit the possibility that they did not rightly understand the word or had misinterpreted the scriptures. What right have these teachers, they said, some of them mere fishermen, to present ideas contrary to the doctrines that we have taught the people? The disciples were not intimidated. The Holy Spirit brought to their minds the words spoken by Christ. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. The time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. These things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. John 15, verse 20, 16, 2, 4. God's command comes first. The mighty ruler of the universe took the imprisonment of the disciples into his own hands, for men were warring against his work. By night, the angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and said to the disciples, "Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." Did the apostles say, "We cannot do this until we have received permission from the magistrates"? No. God had said, "Go," and they obeyed. They entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. When Peter and John appeared among the believers and recounted how the angel had led them through the band of soldiers guarding the prison, bidding them resume the work that had been interrupted, the brethren were filled with joy. In the meantime, the high priest had called the council together. The priests and rulers had decided to fix on the disciples the charge of insurrection, to accuse them of murdering Ananias and Sapphira, and of conspiring to deprive the priests of their authority. They hoped to excite the mob to deal with the disciples as it had dealt with Jesus. The priests feared that if people acknowledged Jesus as the Messiah, their anger would be raised against the religious leaders, who would then be made to answer for the murder of Christ. They decided to take strong measures to prevent this. When they sent for the prisoners, great was their amazement at the word brought back. The prison doors were securely bolted, and the guards stationed before them, but the prisoners were nowhere to be found. Soon the report came, "The men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple, and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. Although the apostles were delivered from prison, they were not safe from punishment. By sending an angel to deliver them, God had given them a token of his presence. It was now their part to suffer for the one whose gospel they were preaching. Peter's amazing boldness. The record left by Peter and John is heroic. As they stood for the second time before the men bent on their destruction, no fear or hesitation could be discerned in their words or attitude. And when the high priest said, "Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Peter answered, "We ought to obey God rather than men." It was an angel from heaven who delivered them from prison, and in following his directions, they were obeying the divine command. Then the Spirit came upon the disciples. The accused became the accusers, charging the murder of Christ on those who composed the council. "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." So enraged were the Jews at these words that they decided without further trial or without authority from the Roman officers to put the prisoners to death. Already guilty of the blood of Christ, they were now eager to stain their hands with the blood of his disciples. But in the council, one man recognized the voice of God in the words spoken by the disciples. Gamaliel, a Pharisee of learning and high position, saw clearly that the violent step contemplated by the priests would lead to terrible consequences. Before addressing those present, he requested that the prisoners be removed. He well knew that the murderers of Christ would hesitate at nothing to carry out their purpose. He then spoke with great deliberation. "Men of Israel, take care what you do with these men. I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of men, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." RSV. The priests were obliged to agree with Gamaliel. Very reluctantly, after beating the disciples and charging them again to preach no more in the name of Jesus, they released them. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. In the world we have trouble. Christ said of himself, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." Matthew 10, verse 34. The Prince of Peace, he was yet the cause of division. He who came to proclaim glad tidings opened a controversy that burns deep and arouses intense passion in the human heart. And he warns his followers, "Ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death." Luke 21, verse 16. Every reproach and cruelty that Satan could instigate human hearts to devise has been visited on the followers of Jesus. The carnal heart is still at enmity with the law of God. The world is no more in harmony with the principles of Christ today than in the days of the apostles. The same hatred that prompted the cry, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" still works in the children of disobedience. the same spirit which in the Dark Ages consigned men and women to prison, to exile, and to death, which conceived the torture of the Inquisition, which planned and executed the massacre of St. Bartholomew, and which kindled the fires of Smithfield, is still at work. The proclamation of the gospel has ever been carried forward in the face of opposition, peril, and suffering. Reproach and persecution have separated many from earthly friends, but never from the love of Christ. Never is the tempest-tried soul more dearly loved by his Savior than when he is suffering reproach for the truth's sake. Christ stands by his side. When he is confined within prison walls, Christ cheers his heart with his love. When he suffers death for Christ's sake, the Savior says to him, "They may kill the body, but they cannot hurt the soul. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Isaiah 41, verse 10. From oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. Psalm 72, verse 14. RSV.